the other night, well before a matching sunrise occurred, God woke me up after a literally powerful dream. So real, I was living it. And I was in a wrestling match in my dream. Not some who are big wrestlers. That's not it. It's not a wrestling match. But I was there was a struggle going on. And I was listening to someone say to someone else, "Will you go tell that person to go teach that? Go teach that." And I was right behind them. And I was saying, "What do you mean they go teach that? I wrote that. I wrote that. What do you mean them go teach that?" And the Lord woke me up. My hands were in the air as I said, "Okay, Lord, I surrender. I surrender to whatever you want to do." And God took me to a thought process of Isaac. And Isaac followed Abraham and followed his faith. But there came a time when Isaac passed. And Isaac had choices to make. And we read in the Bible, starting in Genesis 21, about the life of Isaac. And I want to zero especially in over the next several weeks in Genesis 25, 26, about the life of Isaac. And many times we think of Isaac as a weak, relatively placid transition. And we refer to the God of Abraham, Isaac quickly, and then Jacob, because we all know the story of Jacob the supplanter, who did get his birthright from his brother who sold it to him. You all remember the story, right? So he got the birthright, he got the position, he got the blessing, but he'd been prophesied that the blessing would come. But we know about Abraham, we know little about Isaac. But Isaac was a generation that received the blessing of God in a powerful, lasting way. If it hadn't been for Isaac, the blessing would not have transmitted to the next generation down to Jacob. But he encountered difficulty along the way. A lot of problems along the way. And sometimes we think, if the blessing of God is really on me, there wouldn't be those kind of problems, would there? If the blessing of God is really on me, I would know full healing right now today. How many believe that's the way we should be? We should know healing in our bodies. Because the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. But you all realize that our practice is not always equal to our provision from Jesus. Amen? But it doesn't mean we believe it any less. Right, brother? It doesn't mean we stop confessing it, we stop believing it. We're going to agree with the Word of God. We're going to believe the Word of God. But sometimes there are problems on the journey.
Come on.
A couple of you are looking at me like, "I don't want to think about the problems." And we're going to come into a section of Scripture where Isaac had to head back out and dig back up his father's well that dad had already dug, that got buried and had to be dug up again. And sometimes our lives are like that. And we need to remember a phrase, and I want to give you a phrase over the next many months, maybe for the rest of your life. Because we need to speak to those wells that are dug, those wells of truth and life and blessing and provision. And we need to get the silt, the dirt and the mud and the world out of there. And we need to say, "Spring up, O well! Let living water come. Let the life-giving water of Jesus flow in my life again." And I'm not going to be limited by what the devil wants to say. I'm not going to be limited by my physical condition. I'm not going to be limited by the problems that come my way. I'm going to believe the word of God, and I'm going to say, spring up, O well. Come on, say it with me, church. Spring up, O well. Say it again. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. I want you to imagine the heartache of a father who was told to sacrifice his only son. The pain. And then imagine the joy of his son's life being given back to Abraham. Just before he sacrifices Isaac, a ram is caught in the thicket, and God provides the sacrifice, just like the substitutionary death of Jesus 2,000 years ago for us. Isaac, the son of promise and resurrection. There's a few parallelisms here as we study Isaac's life. Abraham takes his son to the mount. Jesus climbs Mount Calvary, Golgotha, to his death. Abraham lays the wood on Isaac, and Isaac later on the wood. Jesus carries his own cross and is impaled upon it. Abraham raises his knife to slay his son, and a sword pierces the side of Jesus. God prophesied through an angel that Abraham's son would be born, and he even gave him the name of what his son would be, Isaac, which means laughter. He shall laugh, or laughter. God gave him and prophesied his name before that baby was born. God prophesied to Mary through an angel that God's son would be born, and he gave him his name, Jesus. Isaac, he will laugh, he will rejoice. And how many remember Abraham laughs when he hears, you're going to have a child, you and your bride. And he's going, who's kidding who here? He was 100 years old. And he laughed. And God says to him, the delight of our Lord. He knows right what's going on. Anybody in this room think that maybe God doesn't see everything in your life? Yeah, yeah. How many are glad he does? How many wish you didn't see everything? And so God says, you laughed. And Abraham goes, no, I didn't laugh. And the Bible clearly tells us he laughed at this utterly impossible situation that's never impossible for God. And Jesus, the Bible says, how is he like that? Do you know the Bible tells us that Jesus had the oil of gladness more than his fellows? Do you know the Bible says that? That Jesus had that kind of joy? In Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, joy is released in your life. How many know when you love righteousness and love to stay close to Jesus, and you get close to him and you're clean to the blood, that's when real joy comes. Amen? Yeah. Says, you've loved righteousness, hated lawless, therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. By the way, that's a quote from a messianic psalm, Psalm 45. God blesses Isaac. Everybody breathing here this morning? Yes. Genesis 25, we have Abraham who dies. Isaac and Ishmael bury him in the cave of Machpelah. The covenant blessing and promises of God then began to come on Isaac, and it's obvious, it's evident, and the blessing of God comes on him just like God said would be. Now, if you recall back in your history, when Rebekah gave birth to Esau and Jacob, twins in her womb, God spoke, the Bible says, by the way, to her, that the older would serve the younger. That's Genesis 25, verse 23. God spoke it to her heart. She did everything she could to come bring that to pass, didn't she? Esau, the firstborn, despises his birthright later on in life and sells it to his brother Jacob when he's hungry. The blessings pour out on Jacob. And in this case, the blessings pour out on his father, Isaac, following Abraham's death. Genesis chapter 26, there's a time of famine in the land. And God tells Isaac not to go to Egypt. How many know when there's a famine and difficult times in life, don't go back to Egypt, which is a type of the world. Don't go back to the world when life gets tough. Stay with Jesus and walk with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him through the midst of the problem, through the midst of the storm. Stay with Him. Don't go back to the world. And God speaks to Isaac's heart. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in this place and I will bless you. I will bless you. And they do. God promises the Abrahamic covenant that continues on in Him. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. I want you to personalize this. You ever discovered in your life that you can get encouraging promises, and when you sense the promises of God and you read them in the Bible, you ever get excited about the promises of God? Yes. Come on, you ever get excited? Yes. Tell your face then. You ever get excited?
Yes.
Okay. But how many know that even when you've received the excitement of the Word of God, courage doesn't always accompany it? We don't always have automatically everything we need just because we got a promise from God. Sometimes we got to walk right through it. Isn't that true, you guys?
Huh?
Sometimes you just got to walk right through. Promises come, but courage isn't automatic. And we know that Isaac did what his dad did, which was lie that his wife was his sister, because he didn't want to get killed because his wife was so gorgeous. He thought they were going to steal his wife. And they did try to steal his wife. But he said, "She's my sister." But God gets him through that, and then we read that there's a famine in the land. Genesis 26, 12 through 14, if you're taking notes. Genesis 26, 12 through 14. Again, open your Bibles if you have it on your phone or your tablet, or if you have a hard copy with you. I have some of the scriptures up here, but Genesis 26, 12 through 14, we read these words. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." How many know that God's trying to tell us he prospered? "The man became prosperous, began to prosper, continued to prosper until he became very prosperous." I get it, Lord. "For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him." Now, Philistines. How many remember the Philistines? Who fought with the Philistines? What was his name?
David.
That's right. So these are the enemies of God's people, representing the enemies of God's people in their midst, in the midst of the world surrounding him, in the midst of people that aren't always happy about your Jesus, in the midst of people that don't always like your Christianity, in the midst of people that don't always like it when you quote the Word of God to them, in the midst of people that subscribe to different philosophies and attitudes of life, God prospered Isaac. And he said, "Walk with me. Don't go to the world. Walk with me and I'll take care of you." And he did. And they were envious of him. He got possessions, he got provision, he got people. They were envious, and that word literally means in the Hebrew, jealous. They were jealous of him. Blessings don't always mean that things are easy. If you let that live long enough, can any of you think in this room about a time that something happened and I'd love to finish that by saying, "And you were just fine," but the answer is, "And you really got ticked about it?" Come on, anybody? Really got upset? Why did that happen? It's because sometimes we expect blessings to always be accompanied with peace in our circumstances, and it doesn't always come that way. It's not always easy. But your life is marked with joy, with love, with peace, with forgiveness, with his presence. So we get to live it. Turn to each other and say, "Let's live this." Redigging his father's wells. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 26, verses 15 through 18, I'd like to zero in on. I've got a few other scriptures I'm going to be using as well, but Genesis 26, 15 through 18. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father, or Abraham's servants, had dug in the day of Abraham his father's. Stop them up. That Hebrew word is satham. Satham. Can you say that with me? Satham. It literally means, in the Hebrew, and remember, Hebrew is a picture language. Usually at the root of their language, at their words, there is a picture that gives you the whole philosophy or the whole perspective of the word. Stopping up the wells literally means it was keeping them secret, hidden, closed. Keeping secrets, the wells. Now, in that part of the desert area where there was a famine and a drought, keeping them secret meant, you know, you only had a few sources of water for both people and crops and animals. It was extremely valuable. And by the way, so you know the context, they would name those places because if you could demonstrate that your name was there at the well longest, you certainly were the owner of that well. And Abraham had sunk the well, and he'd had names, but watch what they do to those names and those wells. And Abimelech said to Isaac, verse 16, because they had filled them with earth, in verse 15, they had filled these wells with earth. Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. The blessing of God is on you. Get away from me. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He, Isaac, called them by the names which his father had called them. What are wells? What are wells? They give you water in the wilderness. They give you refreshing and they give you life sustenance and strength and support during a parched time in the desert where death can occur. You need that water of life. And in spiritual aspects, there's life that comes from the Word of God. There's life that flows from the stream of God. You come into the house of God. You raise up your hands and worship. You deal with your attitudes. I don't like that. I don't like, no, just raise your hands. Begin to worship Him and let the stream of God and the well of God spring up inside your life. And it gives you refreshing and you get to go out different than how you came in. Anybody come to church this morning with an attitude? Sure. Sometimes we do. But you know, usually if we enter into the presence of God, we begin to raise our hands and worship Him and look into the Word of God. All of a sudden, by the end of the service, you go, wow, man, I'm glad I came to church. My life's a little different now because I've been washed by the river of life and by the wellspring of life. Life in the barren place is what the wells deal with, God's river. But the enemy, the devil, and there is a real Satan, a real devil, wants to stop up the flow of God's river in your life. When you examine, am I closer to God or not? And if you've done things that got you farther away from God and you examine, why am I here? Was this God's doing in my life? Or did I listen to the enemy of my soul instead? 9 times out of 10, or at least 10 times out of 10, it should be, I listened to the devil instead of to God. He wants to stop up the wells of your life. Truth, provision, healing, power. So what do? We get to come and say, please forgive me, Lord. I've turned against you. Lord, spring up, O wells. Come on, say it with me. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well. The context, there was a covenant between Abraham and Abimelech. And Abraham's blessed and the water runs freely. But jealousy and envy wants to steal the blessings, and they stopped up those wells. Who do you think, come on, I want you to talk with me. Who do you think wants to steal the blessings of God from your life? What does the Bible say? The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So who wants to snatch away the joy of the Lord from your life? Who wants to snatch away the blessing of God from your life? The devil wants to kick you out of your provision. Come on, church, somebody should say amen.
Amen.
The well gives life. We're going to bury that thing again. We're going to hide that truth from your life. We're going to steal that name away, because with that name comes authority and power. And I don't want you, the devil is saying, I don't want you to sense the authority you've got in your life. I don't want you to know what you've got. I'm going to take it away from you so you can't have that victory. And Isaac comes along and he says, we got to dig that well up again, because Dad's well had life and meaning, and it's time to bring it up again. And I will be what God's called me to be. I will stand with the word of God. Spring up, oh well. Now, interesting little point. How'd they fill in the wells? What'd they use?
Dirt?
Rocks? Silt? Clay? Dust? Dirt? You know what the type of that is, or what that's a type of? The world. Do you know what'll dam up your wells? Sin and the world. Dead animals? Things that you haul in there. Yeah, they fill a lot of those up with dead animals. That's right. But you have the ways of the world, and all of a sudden, the life stream of God doesn't flow. Come on. Anybody been there? Fill it up with soil and dirt and silt and mixture with the world. Hundreds of thousands. I want you to really just listen to me for a couple minutes, please. Hundreds of thousands of people are walking away from a relationship with Jesus so they can drink from the world. There just came a new survey out in the United Kingdom. Listen, 47% of the people who said they were Christians, who took this survey, and this was just recently, do not believe in a virgin birth. They call themselves Christians. Don't believe in the virgin birth. Don't believe in Jesus' death. Don't believe in his burial. And don't believe in his supernatural resurrection. Then, folks, they're not Christians. Come on, I said they're not Christians. Now, we love them. But they need a revelation that the Word of God is true. And the world steals life away. Keep it quiet. Let's not talk about the cross. Don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about Jesus having to die on the cross. Don't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Don't talk about these things, because just keep it quiet. Keep it hidden and let those things get stolen away. Seminary president. Thank you, Penny, for posting this. A seminary president just the other day, in an article that came out on April 25th, just days ago. She's the president of an ancient or an old seminary where those who came and attended and taught were supposed to give credence to the Word of God. The Bible is the absolute Word of truth. Now, we don't always understand it, but we walk in it as closely as we can, but it is the Word of God. And she just admitted, the new president just admitted, she doesn't believe in heaven, doesn't believe in the miracles of Christ's resurrection. This seminary was founded in 1836 on the infallible Word of God. And in this interview, she doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, the power of prayer, literal heaven, or miracles. She's the president of, and you've probably heard of it, Union Theological Seminary in New York. And she made the comments in an article in the newspaper for the New York Times, and it was published on Easter weekend. And they said in this article that I was reading, it's possible she was trying to encourage some people, but the reality is it exposed the tragedy of turning away from the Word of truth. The constitution of the college said the seminary's goal was to promote the kingdom of Christ Professors were required to affirm that they believed the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. But she rejects a literal bodily resurrection of Jesus. Here's what the scripture says. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, will you please read this with me? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. Now, we don't hate people, but this scripture was Paul teaching Timothy who to have fellowship with and stay in close contact with and who not to. And those people that call themselves Christians and then especially purport themselves to be teachers to others of the word of faith and the truth of the word of God are the ones who have a form of godliness but literally deny its power. Jude 1 verse 3. Beloved, Jude 1 verse 3, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, Jude says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Redig the wells of truth. If you've allowed them to be filled in with silt and dirt of the world, get that out and redig those wells. Spring up, O well. This is the word of God, and I believe it. I remember as a kid getting radically saved, and I'd go to bed every night just holding the bed. I'd hold my Bible to my chest, and I'd wake up in the morning, be down on the ground, pick it up, say, sorry, Lord. And then I'd go to bed the next night after having read it. I held it to my chest because I love the Bible as the word of truth. Do I understand it all? Absolutely not. I don't understand it all. But what I do understand tells me about a Jesus who said, I love you enough to come and die for you. I was buried for you. I rose again from the dead for you. I'm praying for you now. Redig the wells of truth, church, and stand and contend for the faith of the gospel. Listen to it out of the Passion. Dearly beloved friend, I was fully intending to write to you about our amazing salvation we all participate in, but felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. For God, through the apostles, has once for all trusted these truths to his holy believers. You can point to it throughout the ages, you guys. In the 1500s, the Anabaptists were fiery persecution receivers and sufferers because they believed a mature adult made a decision to get baptized. And that's when you go into the waters of baptism. And they got burned for it. The early charismatic move. You have the Azusa Street in early 1900s, 48 revival, charismatic renewal. Hundreds of millions of people baptized in the Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues. And now some of those same churches birthed in revival in Azusa Street are saying to their people, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't practice that here. I want to tell you, Grace Christian Center, by the grace of God, all are welcome to, and we practice that here. Amen. And if you want to be filled with the power of the gospel, get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it yet, it's fully available to you. We don't shove it on anybody, but we say, it's welcome here. He's welcome here. It's God's church. And we want to give the Holy Spirit room to do what he wants to do in church. Yeah. Amen or oh no. Yeah. Pastor Kemp, you're loud this morning. Thank you. I will. By the grace of God. It's Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that said this passed away. Nothing. There's nothing in the Bible that says, oh, you know, you come over to the New Testament. We've had Christians talk to us like this. Well, you know, this section through here in the New Testament, that doesn't belong anymore because it doesn't apply anymore. This part applies and this part applies. And I don't read anything that says this whole thing doesn't apply anymore. It all applies. I don't understand it all, but I want to grow in as much as I can. Don't you? Amen. Preaching to the choir here this morning, Pastor Kev, but God said, Jesus told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem, Acts 1 verse 8, till they were endued and clothed upon with power from on high. And that power means literally the dunamis power, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell out on his people on the day of Pentecost. And these timid guys who had been hiding behind a door were baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues as the Bible gave them utterance, and they declared the word of God with boldness, and 3,000 people got saved that day. Holy bold. Listen, I understand what it's like to not know about this stuff. I understand what it's like to be a little bit wary. I grew up in the Church of Christ. Church of Christ kicked Pat Boone out when Pat Boone got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I grew up in the Church of Christ, and I went to church every Sunday. I couldn't stand going to church. It didn't make any sense to me. And it was because I was always told I was supposed to live a good life, but nobody ever told me there was the power that enabled me to do so. Acts 2, 1 through 4. It's poured out in Pentecost. And now listen to what the scripture says, and I want to really point it out. 37 to 41 of Acts 2, when they heard this, well, let's go back up. Acts 2, 1 through 4. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I think I have another scripture here. Verses 37 through 39. Now when they heard this, when Peter got up and preached and said, "You guys killed Jesus, but this is the sign that he said was coming." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, wait a minute, Kevin. I received the Holy Spirit. He breathed on me. That's right. There's a difference, though, between the breath and the rushing mighty wind. If I told you I have a bar of gold that I want to give you, would you look at me and say, "Hey, score, I'll take it," would you? How many would turn it down if you knew it was real? Anybody? Okay, you'd receive it. What if I looked at you and said, "Okay, now here's 100 bars to give to you"? There's more, and there's power in that economic benefit. "For the promises to you," verse 39, "to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now watch. "And with many other words," verse 40, "he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" Verse 41, and here's your key. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." There's an attitude of heart that says, "Okay, I may not understand it all, but Lord, I gladly receive you. I might not get it all, but I want to get all of you." And that day, 3,000 souls were added. If you haven't received these powerful gifts from God, I urge you, repent. Be baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. That word "receive" means take hold of. Get it. Get hold of it. It's a tripod of faith, if you will, as you build your life in the Lord. Repent. Be baptized. Receive the Holy Ghost. Redig your father's wells. Maybe there are some truths that we've allowed to fall into disrepair. Maybe there are some wells that have been silted up, and Jesus wants the living water to flow freely in your life again and in mine. You can't go on in great growth until you do. Did you know that? Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Read it. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 talks about these things, and he says, "And now we will go on if God permit." Show of hands, how many ever built anything in your life? Buildings? Did you ever have to get a building permit? Yeah. Okay, for those of you who legally got building permits, all depends on how you ask that. I didn't take any pictures, so no problem. But if you got your building permit, you worked with those people, and you had to get the permit, technically, to go on and do the next phase. And God says, "I want to see that your foundation's right, and then I'll give you that permit for your next phase of growth." Saved by grace. Water baptism. Baptism of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, they're all alive today. healing, provision, deliverance, freedom from shame, resurrection power. It's all available today. Do we walk in it all? No. But it's the wells of truth. And Isaac returned their proper names to them, the names the Father had given them, because the devil wants to steal away your possession, your inheritance, and everything God wants to give you. You know, when the devil comes along to steal this away from you, do you know what you need to say to him? No! Get out in Jesus' name. I'm holding on to what Jesus has given me. The devil wants to see you nameless and powerless, nondescript. Don't make a stir. That's not going to change the world. Radical believers need to stand up and be counted. We need to stand up, believers, and be counted. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not just a believer, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Am I perfect? No. Am I shoving things down your throat? No. You came here this morning, remember? No, but we need to stir each other up in our most holy faith. Amen. Don't go out and be ashamed. Don't hang your head. Rise up and be who God's given you to be, who He's made you to be, full of the wells of truth and life and rejoicing in His presence, because this is who He is and this is what He's done in my life. Kick the devil out and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Amen. Make sure the foundational wells are flowing. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. My goal, if you're uncomfortable this morning, has not been to make you uncomfortable. My goal has been to challenge that we as believers rise up and take the place God's called us to take. Shine forth His love and light. I remember, just a little aside, I've always been on the go. I'm just a bottom line kind of guy. Go, 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 go. So when I got a call to go do jury duty, I never wanted to do it. Until I realized, wait a minute, who do they need in that jury room? But somebody full of the Holy Spirit who knows what His word is, who knows how to walk in fair and objective perspectives, who knows how to have compassion and mercy, but who knows also how to discern truth from error. We need to be real Christians, church. Amen. Nowadays, you're all living next door to people who don't know Jesus. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time I have left. But in the time that I have, with all of my heart, I want to see people come to Jesus. With all of my heart, I want to see people surrender and saved. I believe, I'm just crazy enough to believe that the Bible says He's going to fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. I'm just crazy enough to believe it. And I'm just hungry enough to want to see it. How about you? Amen. Oh, spring up, O well. Spring up. Spring up, O well. If I'm not feeling so good this morning, I turn to my body and I say, spring up, O well, with life and healing and power. If I'm a little bit discouraged about what's going on in my life and things are coming against me, I go, spring up, O well, and keep walking with God. Isaac kept walking on, and we'll see that in future weeks. He just kept digging wells. Truth and life are in Jesus. And He loves you. If you need healing this morning, come for prayer. Pray for one another. If you need to give your life to Jesus and haven't done it, today's your day. He's going to sink a new well in your life with living water. Spring up, O well. Say it with me. Spring up, O well. Stand with me, would you? There'll be people here who delight in praying for you if you desire. As we come to a close this morning, I want to go back to that first song. Down the mountain the river flows and brings refreshing wherever he goes. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you back. And 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, 240 Maple Lane, Brother Bill Brown will be there. We invite you. And then Thursday, the day of prayer from noon to 1:30, 240 Maple Lane, we invite you to come be with us. He loves you. We all love you. Turn to each other and say, it's nice to be loved.
It's nice to be loved.
That the river of God is full of life, and you have filled us, Lord, with your river of life. Thank you for guiding us, leading us, speaking to us. Be with your people as we go out from this place this week. Let them be filled with joy and strength and encouragement, and hold on to the wells of truth that you have planted in their lives. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Be released in the presence and joy of the Lord. Amen.